The sixth lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. Anybody wants to go to Montana? I have a map for you. But again, I can't. Yeah, I don't think it's so. It might still be accurate. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Well, I love that image of the three wise men traveling on a camel, following that bright star. You might have, on a hill overlooking Bethlehem, you might have seen it. It looks kind of like this. They traveled long and far from the east. Who knows what kind of dangers encountered them as they traveled. They looked down. We're assuming kind of that they're standing on a hill. They look down, they see the town of Bethlehem, the star shining on where Jesus was, and their journey was over. Their visit makes for a wonderful nativity scene too, doesn't it? With the shepherds and the kings alongside each other. Smelly shepherds, the royal kings gather together at the manger to seek Jesus. And most biblical scholars claim that the wise men, or the magi, which we call them, sometimes came sometime actually after Jesus was born. The Greek words that are used in the gospel account suggest that Jesus was not a newborn baby, and that when they saw the star, it was shining on a house, not a stable. Jesus was maybe 1 or 2 years old. And I guess if we think about it, if we saw this, if the star shining, it might have taken them a year or two to get from wherever they were to where Jesus was. And for me, it doesn't really matter. Really, honestly, it doesn't matter how old Jesus was or when they came and where they found him. What matters to me is that these wise ones came. They journeyed long and far, and they came to Jesus. Now, the story of the wise men, or the magi, that we heard today is traditionally part of the celebration of Epiphany. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we're celebrating that today. It's usually the 12th day of Christmas, which is tomorrow. So you can still say Merry Christmas tomorrow. I love the story and the mystery of these wise ones from the east. There's a lot that we don't know about them. How many were there? Tradition tells us there's three, but the Bible doesn't say that, does it? How many were there? What were their names? Again, tradition says that their names were Balthazar, Melchor, and Caspar. But we don't know. Who were they? Were they kings? Were they scholars? Were they astrologists? Were they wise guys? Were they all men? I've always secretly thought there had to have been at least one woman among them. Yeah, she would have asked for directions, exactly. Where did they come from? How far did they travel? What made them come? What was it that was so compelling that made them come? Well, Matthew is sketchy on those details, but what we do know is that these wise ones studied the stars, and they were familiar with the promises in the Hebrew Scriptures. We also know that they came bearing gifts for Jesus. What did they bring with them? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, some suggest that based on these gifts, that these visitors from the east were definitely men, and they weren't very wise at all. I mean, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. for a little child, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. If they were women, they would have stopped and asked for directions, and they probably would have brought things like a handmade quilt, some warm, fuzzy-footed pajamas, diapers, and definitely a casserole. But no, the wise ones brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. One of the explanations of these gifts was that these were items that were used by, for lack of a better word, magicians, wizards, ones who performed miracles, great tricks, and that these wise ones from the East dabbled in these things. And as such, by bringing these gifts to Jesus, they were letting go of their former ways. They were letting go of those mysteries of magic and being enveloped in the mystery of Christ. Others have said that these gifts were symbolic. Gold is a gift for a king. It represents power. And Jesus was indeed a king with the power of God. He's royal royalty. Frankincense is a fragrant incense that was made from the dried sap of a tree. Apparently, they had to kind of chisel it out. And when they burned frankincense, the incense, the smell, was believed to have some medicinal powers, some healing powers. And that as such, this gift of frankincense was a symbol of Jesus' healing power and the new life that we have in him. Myrrh is also the sap from a tree. It's more of an oil. Myrrh is used for the embalming of the dead. And as such, this gift reveals Jesus' humanity and foreshadows his suffering and his death. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those were the three gifts. I don't know, what do you bring? What do you give this child who is God incarnate? What do you bring when the creator of the universe reaches down and touches earth with love and power and grace in the body of a little child? What do we offer that awesome one who is the light of the world, shining in the midst of the darkness? The one who knows us and loves us, forgives us. What do we give? Our offerings, our time, casseroles? What do we bring? What do we give? We know that in the presence of the Christ child, the wise men fell to their knees and offered him the best gifts that they could offer in that moment in time. What they had, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in his presence, they knew that the very best thing that they could offer him was humble thanks and praise. They fell on their knees and worshiped him. All we can ever do is offer Christ the best of what we have, the best of who we are in this moment in time. Our humblest thanks and praise. Now we've just begun a new calendar year. A new year is a good time for us to look at ourselves and look at our lives and assess and reflect upon where we are. So I ask the question, in this new year, how are you going to offer who you are and what you have to God? How are you going to offer who you are and what you have to God? Now, I'm not just talking about money or time or casseroles. It's never a bad idea to look at those things and assess them as well and ask ourselves, how can we be more generous and gracious? Time and money might be a part of it. But the bigger question is, how are we going to offer Christ the gift of who we are right now? How are we going to live our lives today for Jesus? Too often we push that question to the future. Oh, when my kids grow up, then I'll, or when I retire, I'll have more time. Although I don't think any of you who are retired have more time. But when I retire, or after I do this, or after I do that, then I will. This question is a now question. A right now question. How are we, as followers of Christ, as ones who come and seek Christ, how are we going to offer God the best of what we have, the best of who we are, in this moment in time? When those wise ones were sitting on that hilltop on their camels, overlooking the town of Bethlehem, ready to journey down to where Jesus was, this wasn't the end of their journey. It was really the beginning. Because as they knelt before Christ and humbly offered their gifts to him, their lives were changed. Changed so completely that they went home by another road completely. When we lay the gift of who we are before Christ, we too are changed. We're transformed. We are different people. We know that wise men and wise women and wise children still indeed do seek Jesus. Because our world is still dark. It's in need of the light of Christ. We are called to be that light, beginning here and now, in this time, and in this place, in this neighborhood, in this community, in this world, with all of who we are, and with all of who we are not. We are the light of Christ shining in the darkness. Jesus tells us that. You are the light of the world, he says. Let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your God in heaven. So on this first Sunday of the new year, on this feast of Epiphany, we join those wise ones and we humbly kneel before Christ. Christ the child, Christ the Savior of the world. And we lay our gifts before him, the gift of who we are right now. And we offer him our lives. And we offer him our thanks and praise. Let your light so shine before others that they might indeed see your good works and give glory and honor and praise to our good and gracious God. Amen.